always keeping the main thing, thanking God for Jesus, thanking God for the Holy Spirit, thanking God for the angels, thanking God for the church, thanking God for this congregation, thanking God for the leaders of this congregation, thanking God for just having us out here today, because it could have been the other way. He didn't have to wake us up this morning, but he did. Have you asked the question, why did he? He did it for a reason. He did it for a reason. Today, my lesson is coming from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. And what was read to you today was chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 18 was read to you. But I would like to read from verse 10 through 18. That's 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. And it reads, "Now I beseech you, brethren," he's talking to us now, "by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith that I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. I baptize also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Once again, verse 18 says, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." My title this morning is, "It Didn't Make Sense." It didn't make sense back then, and there's a lot of things that don't make sense today to us, to the world, to us all. I remember coming up as a little boy looking at the Adventures of Superman. You remember that? It still come on there, right? For those who, you know, follow it. But anyway, I looked at Superman, and they say he's the most strongest man in the world, possibly, the Man of Steel. The only thing could put him down was kryptonite. This man was tough. He was Superman. I remember one episode that I saw. The bad guys was robbing the bank, and Superman, he looked and he saw them with his X-ray vision, because he could look through walls too now. He's bad. And he saw these guys, and he bust through the wall. He didn't come by the door knocking or nothing like that through the window. He bust through this wall. And the bad guys, when they saw him, they start shooting. They start shooting him. And he stood there, Superman, bad, right? Bullets just bouncing off. I mean, this man, he not even blinking or nothing. The bullet's just bouncing off. But a strange thing happened. After the bad guys finished shooting all the bullets out, they took the gun and they threw at him, and he ducks out the way. Why? Why? It make no sense whatsoever. But I said, Superman, maybe it was kryptonite in the gun. I don't know. But that's what happened. But anyway, it didn't make sense. There's many things in this life that don't make sense to us. Many things, some things that we do don't make sense. And we realize it maybe afterward. Those who are not believers or who reject God's message get the idea of God who died on a cross, especially for the sins of humanity, seem to be absurd or illogical. They might even view it as weakness, a sign of defeat, or simply irrelevant or foolish. The Greek word for foolish is Maria, or Maria, derived from the root word moros, which means foolish, slow, silly, dull, or even stupid. Moron is a more informal word of slang that we use. We said, you moron. You heard that before, you know, you moron, or so forth and so on. Now, I'm not calling you a moron. I don't, you got me. But that's what we use. That's what it derives from. Maria, Moros, Moron. In the world today, the unbelievers think that we are foolish. They think that we are slow. They think that we are silly. They think that we are dull. They think that we're even stupid. But we believe in the risen Savior. And they say that just because we believe in a risen Savior, they call us a peculiar people. Paul emphasizes that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing and on the road to destruction. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul contrasts the wisdom of the world, which is often focused on man's achievements and man's cleverness, with the wisdom of God, which is revealed through the cross of Christ. He goes on to say that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verses 27 through 29, it reads in the New Living Translation, instead, God deliberately chose things the world consider foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose those who are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important, that no man can ever boast in the presence of God. In other words, the billions of people in this world, if we put all the minds together, and we could put it all together, that smart would not touch God. Amen. We could all get together and be smart in this world. All our minds put together, we still won't be smarter than God. We could all get together and put all our might, all our strength together, and we still won't be stronger than God. God is all powerful. And this is what Paul was stressing. He stresses that preaching of the cross is the power of God. We know that God is omnipotent. He's all power. We know that God is omniscient, all knowing. We know that God is all present. He is present omnipresent. He is present everywhere and at all times. To the believers, That's nonsense. Because how could somebody be everywhere at all time? How could somebody be know all things? You see, they can't get that to grip. They can't grip that. That just don't make sense. It got to be another. It got to be something different than this. When man elevates his own wisdom, he automatically attempts to lower God's wisdom, which looks to him like foolishness, but it conflicts with his own way of thinking. You see, how man thinks is different than how God thinks. You see, man has a wisdom that he thinks is right, but that wisdom leads to death. It looks like foolishness. It looks like foolishness that God would take on a human form, be crucified and raised in order to provide for man forgiveness of sin. And an entrance into heaven is an idea that simply is foolish and hard for the natural man to accept. That one man could die on a piece of wood on a nondescript hill in a nondescript part of the world and determine the destiny of every person who ever lived is nonsense to man. But we believe as believers. Paul is trying to show even if God could possess any sort of foolishness, it would be wiser than any man's greatest wisdom. And if God were able to have any weakness, it would be stronger than the greatest strength that man could muster up. Today, I would like to make 3 points, and the lesson is yours. I'm not a long-winded preacher. You know, I've been told, but I believe to get it to you. Amen. Don't go to sleep, you know, because if you go to sleep, you forget what I said, you know, but you got a chance if you still awoke, right? And I don't mean to be like this, but this is how I've been taught. I've been taught by a great preacher, and sometimes we could go too long, you know. Don't he know my chicken? When is he going to sit down? You know? And then, you know, some of us got stuff on our minds like, did I turn the oven off? You know? Did I lock my door? Did I put the dog out? You know, I hope he'll hurry up. You know, because I need to leave. And I don't want you to be like that. I want you to be able to hear Brother Patterson preach and enjoy and learn something and get something from it. Amen. Amen. There's 3 points. First point, what the world sees in us. And I call that's the outside looking in. When the world sees us as Christians, what do they see? When they look at us, when they look in at us, what do they see that don't make no sense? Point two, what we see in the world that don't make sense. Looking at the world, you know, what do we see that just don't make sense? Point three, and this is a very important point. All of it is important, but this is very important. What do we see when we look at one another? And that's the inside, looking at the inside. It's very important what we see about one another that don't make sense. First point, the outside looking in. They say, Why do you believe in a God that you can't see? That don't make sense. They need something to go by. They need something to touch. They need something to hear. But God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not here, but we as Christians, we believe, and they can't understand that. How could we believe in somebody that we don't even see? How could we believe? We believe because the Bible tells us to believe by faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, we spoke about that in the Sunday school. We spoke about that. You see, the world wants to see and touch, but we believe without seeing or touch. You see, when we wake up in the morning, one thing that God shows his Christians, he shows us the trees. He shows us the birds and the bees. He shows us that beautiful sky up there, whether it's raining, snowing, or what. Are you with me? Benjamin Franklin didn't do this. George Washington or whoever, God did this. And we see his creation. And when we see God's creation, we see God. He's awesome. And we can't wait to meet him face to face. You see, face to face. They say, the people who of the world, they say, why do you give money to God who you say owns everything? That don't make sense. They say, if you already believe, why should you be baptized? They just don't get it. It don't make sense. They ask the question, why would God create a perfect world with a perfect garden and put a bad tree in it? That just don't make sense. They say, why did God get mad when man wanted to mad at man and wanted to destroy the world that he created in the first place? Why? They say that don't make sense. They ask why would he send his only begotten son to die on a cruel cross for a bunch of people who don't even like him? They say that don't make sense. They say it seems that there could have been a better way. There could have been a better way, they say. And it don't make sense the way that he made it. They ask the question, how would you really know if it's true or not? Because to us, it just don't make no sense, right? That God would be a God like that. He's supposed to be a God of love. He's not supposed to be a God who leave us and allow things to happen. You know, who allow bad things to happen to our loved ones. And you know how we blame things on God. God, you know, why did you do this and why did you do that? And God is asking us the same question. Why didn't you do this, and why didn't you do that? There was a story about a woman. She was riding on a she was traveling, and it just so happened she was sitting beside an atheist. She was reading the Bible, and she was sitting beside an atheist, and him being facetious, he said, "What are you reading?" She said, I'm reading my Bible. He said, yeah, I know you're reading your Bible, but what are you reading? She said, oh, I'm reading the book of Jonah. He said, you mean the story of that man who was swallowed by a whale and lived in the whale belly for 3 days and three nights and was spat upon a seashore and still lived? She said, yes. He said, tell me the truth now. He said, do you really believe that? She said, yes, by faith I do. Being facetious, he said, how are you going to know that, if it's true or not? She said, well, she said, when I die and go to heaven, I'll ask him. Being facetious, he said, well, what if he ain't in heaven? What if he is in that other place? She said, well, when you die and you go to the other place, you ask him. Second point. The inside, looking out. What we see when we see the world. We see people who believe in Friday the 13th. We see folks who say you shouldn't walk under a ladder. That's bad luck. We see, they say that you shouldn't cross the path of a black cat. They say it's bad luck to leave home without your good luck charms. They say it's real bad luck if you broke a mirror, because that's 7 years bad luck. Huh? But you ask these same people, would you like to come to church? Or you ask these same people, would you like to have a Bible study? No. You see, because it's Friday the 13th, and you just walk across the path of Black Cat, and you ask me if I'm going to come with you to church? No. Huh? That ain't going to happen. You see? You ask, you tell them about God, but they don't want to hear that. They would rather hear the good luck charm, you know. They can't leave home without that rabbit foot or that four-leaf clover or so forth and so on, that good horseshoe, that lucky charm. They got to have that. But you tell them about Christ, and not today. No, thank you. No, thank you. We see man is that this don't make no kind of sense whatsoever, legalizing marijuana. We're crazy enough as it is. Amen. We have lost our mind as it is. We don't need no help. But for those of you who've been there and done that, marijuana is the stepping stone. That's the first step to being a fool. Are you with me? That's the first step. Are you with me? And when you start smoking that stuff and it don't work no more, you gonna go to the second step. And when the second step don't work no more, what you gonna do? Go to the third step. I just got to get there, you know. I ain't been there in a long time. Are you with me? But anyway, we see them legalizing abortion. We see them legalizing sex change. We see them legalizing same-sex marriage. We've been here before. They even have open marriage now. Open marriage is this. They're saying that you could be married, right? But you could go out and fool around with whoever you feel like, but just come back home because you know we got bills. You know we got to pay these bills now. So you come on back home now. Huh? Ain't that foolish? You see, this is what we see. You see, that's foolish. You see, that don't make no kind of sense whatsoever. We see schools teaching children, if you want to be teaching the boys, if you want to be a girl, it's okay. If a girl want to be a boy, that's okay. But we can't teach Christ in the school now, but we can teach that in school. We can bring a drag queen into the school and teach our little ones that it's all right. But we can't have prayer in school. because that's wrong now. Huh? That don't make sense to us. Something is bad wrong with that. You see? And kids cutting themselves up, talking about they want to be the other sex and whatnot. And then you got the fathers and the mothers going along with this. It don't make sense to us. It don't make sense. Because they love their children so much, they just going to let them be. Mm-mm. No. It don't make sense. You know, God said in the book, in the beginning, in Genesis, he said he made us over all the animals. Amen? He made us to the smartest, the wisest of all. Amen? We're supposed to be over them. So question, if we're supposed to be over the dogs and cats, why are the dogs and cats sticking to the script better than we are? Huh? Are y'all with me? Why is that? Why are the dogs and the cats and the rest of the animals sticking to the script better than we are? Huh? Something wrong. It don't make sense. The bottom line to this is that it don't make sense to not believe in the risen Savior. And when we see that with people who refuse God, when we see that, we say that don't make sense. You know, we wanna do something about it, and that's why God said, "Go ye therefore everywhere and teach the gospel." You know, go there and know what you're there for. Third point: the inside, looking at the inside. That's us. What you see about me that doesn't make sense, what I see about you that doesn't make sense, and it shouldn't be anything that don't make sense twixt us. When we talk more about one another than we talk to one another, it don't make sense. When we laugh at one another more than we laugh with one another, it don't make sense. When we are divided for ever what reason that is wrong, it don't make sense. For prejudice, if we're divided by prejudice, it don't make sense. If we're divided by discrimination, it don't make sense. If we're divided by hate, it don't make sense. If we're divided by envy, it don't make sense. If we're divided by jealousy, it don't make sense. Division will set in and will cause us to fall because of that. And great would be the fall of us. Amen. Because there's not supposed to be division amongst us. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 1:10. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And he went down a little bit in verse 13 and said, he asked a question. Is Christ divided? If we are in Christ, there should be no division. But when we see division, we got to say this don't make sense. And we got to do something about it. We ought to try at least. Because there should be no division amongst us. It shouldn't be. But guess what? There is. And I just want to stop by to say this, that the devil, if he could divide us, which he tries all the time, church against church, if he got us divided, then we have fallen already. Are you with me? We are down and we don't know that we're down. In other words, we don't know that we're down. You see, because there's no division in God, none whatsoever. But the devil uses churches, and we see churches, we're splitting, we're dividing. Are you with me? We're going to divide and split so much so there ain't going to be nothing to split no more. Are you with me? The devil going to have his perfect way when we ain't got nothing else to split or to divide. But the bottom line to this, is that whatever happens, don't leave God. Don't leave God. I might leave you. You might leave me. God forbid, I might leave Barbara. Barbara might leave me, but it's not like leaving God. Do not leave God. I don't care how mad you get at, this person or that person, don't leave God. Well, Jesus, I ain't been coming because that person made me mad. Preacher went to visit a family, and he said, "I haven't seen you in a while." He said, "Preacher," he said, the reason why me and my family haven't been to the church is because there's just too many hypocrites in the church." And the preacher said, "No, there ain't too many. It's room for some more." Amen? It's room for some more. All of us got a little bit in us. Amen? If we want to be truthful about it. But we don't want it. We want to keep that stuff out. Are you with me? It's just like we said about sin this morning. Sin ain't going to stop being sin because of me. Sin ain't going to stop being sin because of you. We have to let sin know something that we are engaged now. Are you with me? We have a groom coming to get us. And we don't want to mess this relationship up. So you got to go. I don't want you no more. You got to go. If you leave God, it won't be the smart thing to do. John 6th chapter, it speaks about when Jesus was teaching the disciples, and he said that you would have to eat my body and drink my blood. They said that was a hard saying. They said many left him. And he asked the apostles, he said, "Would you also leave me too?" Peter said, Where are we going? Where we go? To whom we go? Where are we going if we leave you? If we leave you. Because Jesus already told us he's not going to leave us. All we have to do is wait on our groom. Be prepared for him. In closing, if we lose our spiritual mind, we lose our spiritual meaning. If we lose our spiritual hope, we lose our spiritual home. If we lose our spiritual vision, we lose our spiritual direction. If we lose our spiritual walk, we lose our spiritual way. If we lose our spiritual faith, we lose our spiritual fight. If we walk away from the King, we lose everything. And that's the bottom line. If you are here and you're not a member of the church, there's steps you must take to become a member. You must hear God's word. You must hear God's word. God's word is that Jesus was born of a virgin. It sounds silly, But he was born as a virgin by the Spirit. He was born into this world. He lived, suffered, and died. He rose on the third day with all powers in his hand. We must hear that. We must believe that with all our hearts, with not some of our hearts, but with all of our hearts. We must believe that. We must repent. Repent means to turn away from what you was doing to the new thing that God would have us to do. After that, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, be baptized in water for remission of sin. After that, you must stay faithful in God's grace. You must worship. You can't get around it. You must commune. You can't get around it. We must give. You can't get around it. We must teach. We can't get around it. Go ye therefore, we can't get around it. But above all these, we must love. If you are here and you are a member of the church and you are in need of prayer, as we together stand and sing the song that was appointed, we may ask for prayers at this time.